Praise the Lord. Welcome to the Living Savior Church. Good to have each one of you here today. Praise the Lord.
Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. All right, we have lots of praise reports today. Lots. And when praise report, we just turned the AC on, so everybody will cool down.
It was too
easy. All right.
I've learned a long time ago you can't please everybody. You know, no, so you put it on. It's too cold for this one, too hot for this one. And,
but you better please your wife, honey.
Oh, my goodness. I got to please my wife.
Yeah. All right. This is the first one. This is from a lady. She always gives, actually, she's been giving every year for the last 16 years to the Christmas benefit we do. She said, Cheryl, I'm sorry my contribution to the ministry has not been at the rate it was in the past. When oil and gas went down, I had to change jobs. I think she's a geologist. And the pay wasn't what it once was. However, slowly but surely, God is blessing me with increases in pay. God is beyond awesome. I still listen to the CDs and appreciate receiving them. What you and Thurman do for God's kingdom is great. May our beautiful Lord bless you guys always. I have one lady at the office listening to Thurman's teachings. We were able to have her son healed by her repenting of her sin. It was so incredible being part of what Thurman teaches. So hopefully at least every other month I'll be able to send something to the ministry and the children's Christmas. God bless you guys for all you do. Jeanette.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. So she got someone healed because the mother repented of her sin.
Yeah.
So the child was sick.
You know, it's amazing how many times we've seen that. You know, you just don't realize that the sins of the parents are passed to the children, to the third and fourth generation, unless there's sexual immorality, and then it goes 10 generations. And so, you know, when you learn that and you can get the parents to repent of their sin, then you can pray for the children and the children get delivered and get healed. Mm-hmm. We've seen that over and over and over. I'm glad I learned that principle.
Amen.
In fact, before Cheryl reads that next one, some of you know, some of you don't know, but 15 years ago when I lost my wife and daughter, and they were down in Cook's Medical Center with my granddaughter, I had learned the principle about families, about children, and about parents. And while I was down there was 9 children, one of them mine, on their deathbed going to die. According to the doctors at Cook's Medical Center, all 9 of these children were going to die. And I went one by one to each one of those 9 parents and found their sin. They got them to repent of the sin and prayed the prayer of faith. And within 30 days, all 9 of those children were healed at Cook's Medical Center. So I'm telling you, the principles of the kingdom of God work. And I'm glad that I've learned these things because many, many children have been healed through this ministry. And we are so grateful. In fact, we even have one or two today.
Yes, we do. We also have horses and kitties that get healed, too, and dogs. All right, this is the one I read it to y'all before that these couple, they rescued 2 horses a year and a half ago that were police seizures in Tennessee. It takes a lot to have a horse seized from you, so these have both been through a lot. The black Tennessee walking horse, Luna, has come up suddenly ouchie on her feet, and of course I'm concerned about the curse of laminitis, and I just wanted to get together with your ministry and pray over Luna for a complete healing in Jesus' name. It's technically my husband's heart, so I use John 20:23 for any sins on his end. I repented and laid hands on her already. Thank you for what you all do. She said, I'm a case manager for the criminally insane and other high-end schizophrenic clients. I've been ordering your preaching and music, CDs and DVDs, and have been seeing some wonderful progress of clarity with them. I know the devil's mad and is trying to get those guys back. She's over 24 adult men to help them recover. Anyway, we wrote back. We said, you know, and most of y'all know, a lot of this we do in the office, but some of it we do laying in bed, answering all the emails for prayers. So we April 14th, okay, so at 11:52 is when we answered it. We've prayed and it's done. Keep up the good work. Praise the Lord. And then she wrote back, thank you, I will email you with a completed praise report. And on the 16th, 2 days later, she wrote, the horse is perfect as of last night. Woohoo! Praise Jesus. Perfect horse.
Horses,
right.
Dogs, cats, people.
I know, it's amazing.
I'm grateful that God heals everything. Amen.
Okay, this was kind of an interesting one. This was a mother and a son from Mobile, Alabama. Hi, Pastor. Watching your sermons on YouTube and understanding the connection of physical earth to spiritual health, I have a concern about my 39-year-old son's health. He called and has expressed his concern to me. He is always hungry, even after eating a huge meal, intentionally cutting out the carbs but still gaining weight, sits at work too much with aching joints. Blood tests come back at normal levels. However, his hands quiver a bit. Delivered from alcohol in 2002 when he asked Jesus for help and was saved. He teaches a small group at church because he knows how bad life can get living away from Jesus. Thank you in advance for any insight. Alita in Mobile, Alabama. So we wrote back, we've broken all the curses and prayed the prayer of faith over him, and his body will be restored to supernaturally normal. Everything in his body will work perfect in Jesus' name. It is done. Only believe. Praise the Lord. She wrote back, okay, that was on the 16th. We got it on the 19th. She writes back, I spoke with my son last night, and he said, the hunger pains have stopped.
You got to remember that these things we're dealing with are spirits. I mean, these are invisible beings that's trying their best to control you and everything you do and your children. And if they get legal right, just like they did to this boy, when they get legal right to him, here he is now 39 years old and he eats all the time. Well, I never satisfied. Well, I know that's a spirit, and I know that we as sons and daughters of God have complete power and authority over those spirits. When the Word of God says, behold, I've given to you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, all power is given to you over them. Then how much power do we have over them? So what do we not believe about that? So anyway, we kicked out those demons, broke the curse and everything, and now the boy, within a three-day period, what couldn't happen, 39 years of life, doctors couldn't solve, God solved. He set the captive free in 3 days. So, isn't it wonderful?
Thank you, Lord.
Aren't you glad you serve a God that answers prayer?
Amen. I want to read about the part where the woman didn't believe in the Bible. That's not really the praise report.
Okay. This is from Norway.
Oh, okay. Whatever you want to do.
Whatever I want to do.
Yeah, whatever you want to do, just do whatever you
want.
Okay,
I'll read the whole thing. Dear Thurman and Cheryl, here I have a question and a testimony and a big thank you. We had a meeting today and a young teacher of the Word of God said, we do not have to read the Bible. We are allowed to, means we can. To me, this is very puzzling. I said that I disagree with her, and she answered, that's not in the Bible, that we have to read the word, the Bible. Then she said something about the promises of God, and I said, how can I know the promises of God without reading his word? I also remember Thurman saying about having more words in you or less words, meaning a long sword or a little bitty pocket knife. That's your sort of spirit. Then she answers, if we are saved, then the Holy Spirit comes in and teaches us how to live. She really said something like, as saved, we have the word in us. This looks to me that when we are saved, the Holy Spirit comes and pours the word in us and we have nothing to do. This is more puzzling because there is an enemy we have to withstand with a word, meaning with a sword or a pocket knife. But I also remember Thurman asking people, do you go to church? Do you tithe? Do you read the word? I was frustrated because I had no chance to answer more because of the language. Norwegian, my native language, is German because I'm a Swiss lady. I did not want to go into an argument with her, so I sat there and talked to the Lord. I said, Lord, I sure do need some help here. I think she's teaching us wrong. I know that it's in the Word, but just don't know where it is, so I'm going to ask Thurman Scrivener. But it's from Norway. But in the meantime, I give her into your hands so you handle that problem. Thank you, Lord. Here I am and need some answers. Sorry for troubling you, but thanks for the answer. So he answered Second Timothy 1:15.
2:15.
Well, it was close. Yeah. It says study to show yourself approved
unto God,
so that you can rightly divide the word.
So anyway, whenever you think about something like this, you know, when you hear somebody tell you, we don't have to read the Bible. In fact, you're not required to read the Bible. You're not required to know the Bible. I said, yeah, you're right. You're not required to read the Bible. It says you are to study the Bible, not read it. Study the Word of God. So I said, isn't it amazing that people come along, they want you to know what rightfully belongs to you. Because if you don't know what belongs to you, you can't get set free.
That's right.
You know, you've got to know the Word of God to be able to stand on His promises. And so if you hide the Word in your heart, then you can get set free. You can set other people free. But the enemy naturally will tell you, don't study, don't read this old book. You know, in other words, I hate to say this, but the Catholic, I just named the organization, the Catholic denomination, they will train you and teach you, do not read this Bible. Has anybody in here ever been a Catholic and they heard you? Okay, so several of you. And no, they will not tell you to read the Bible. They sure don't tell you to study the Bible. But now, the Baptist church that I was raised up in, as many of you were raised up in a Baptist or Church of Christ or whatever, I mean, the Church of Christ and the Baptists run neck and neck about reading and studying the Bible. They want you to read it and study it, but they don't want you to act on it. You understand where I'm coming from? I mean, it says, you know, don't act on this word. I mean, I've dealt with Baptists and Church of Christ and Methodists and all my life, and you know, when you read something as simple as God's word, and this is what turned me on to the word of God, whenever it says, if like John 14:13-14, anything you ask the Father in my name, I will do it for you. Amen. Now, if Jesus comes along and says, anything you ask the Father in my name, I will do for you, as far as I'm concerned, that's a blank check. Amen. And anything I need as his son, he tells me to ask, right? Amen. Now then, somebody come along and said, no, that doesn't mean what it says. But now, like I said, I was raised in a Baptist church. I've been had many friends in a Church of Christ. And several of my good friends that were Church of Christ, I would try my best to get them to stand on the promises of God. But they would not. My preacher says those went away 2,000 years ago. Now, the Baptists, they just tell you they don't work. But, I mean, they got to me too late.
Praise God! Praise God!
I think of the number of people in this room that have been healed because I studied God's Word.
Amen.
And many of you have been. And now not only are you healed, but you're getting people healed yourself. Just like this lady. Yeah, are your family healed? All kinds of stuff. So, you know, if God said it, and he can't lie, then I'm going to believe his word true. And that's just like that girl when she called us and said, I have a 39-year-old son. He eats all the time. I mean, even after a huge meal, he's still starving. He's hungry. I said, I know what that is. That's a spirit. I mean, the average person, when you eat a meal, I mean, and you eat a light meal, I'm full. I don't need nothing else for several hours. And I'm not hungry in between. But I don't have those spirits. But this guy had these spirits. Now then, if he has those spirits that's causing him to hunger and thirst for food to make him big and heavy where he can't do anything or not even walk around, and I've been given all power and all authority, what am I going to do?
Cast him out.
I'm going to cast him out. I'm going to break that curse that's on him. I'm going to cast out those spirits, and then I'm going to ask the Lord to fill him with the precious Holy Spirit and become a totally different boy. And 3 days later, we get an email back. Totally new boy. After 39 years, just think of the things that people go through, all because they don't know what these principles are and what they say. Now then, if you can read all these wonderful promises, but if you don't act on them, are they going to work? No, they ain't going to work for you at all. But boy, if you believe.
Going back to John 14:13-14, before I married Thurman, my dad went into emergency room and he had, I forget what he had, but he had something terrible. And so I called the ministry center and left word and said that I was on the way down to the ER to check my dad. And when I got in the ER, Thurman called, and he was my pastor at the time. So I laid hands on my dad, prayed for him, and then they had to do some kind of emergency thing to him. And anyway, he ended up being 55 days in the hospital, 26 in the ICU, and then three more in the hospital, and then over 26 over into the rehab. But when at the 10th day, they came and told me, five doctors told me he was going to die that day and to call in the family. So I call in the family. I call the ministry center, and I'm crying, and I said, they told me my dad's going to die today, and I need a prayer. So they come into the room in a little bit, and they say, we're in ICU. They say, we don't normally do this, but your pastor's on the phone. So I go out to the middle where all the doctors and nurses are, and I get on the phone. Of course, I'm crying because it's my dad. And I just have an older brother and myself, and so I was the closest to my dad. So anyway, I talk to Thurman. And he says, well, you know, I tell him that he's supposed to die. And he said, well, how's your dad? And I said, well, at the time he was 85. And I said, he said, well, you know, he's had a good life and he talks about heaven. I said, oh, yeah, I know all about that. But I said, I'm not ready for my dad to die. He said, okay. He said, well, I said, I just need a 2x4 to hold me up. I just need some propping up. You know, I've got faith, but I'm being attacked every day by all these doctors coming in and saying all this negative stuff, and it's just really hard to fight them. And he said, okay. He said, I'm going to pray in agreement with you that your dad is going to knock the socks off the doctors, that he's going to completely get restored and well, back to doing what he was doing before, which was working and driving his car, and he was working part-time. And he said, and we'll stand on John 14:13-14. I said, okay, praise the Lord. I'm in agreement. So we pray. I go back in. I put my Bible on the end of my dad's bed, and everybody, every time somebody walk in there, they tell me something really bad. I'd say, well, thank you for telling me, but I don't receive it. So, of course, they tried to get me kicked out of the hospital and everything else. But that night, during the middle of the morning, some sweet nurse, I don't even know who she was, but she came in, and we got his fever down, and they iced him, and they did all this other stuff. And after that, it just like he recovered. He got out of it. So John 14:13-14 is very special to my heart, and it does work.
Amen.
Okay, there you
go. Praise the Lord.
Personal testimony. All right, so Norway continues. I also want to thank you and your team because of your teachings, Thurman Scrivener. I am saved. Praise God.
Praise the Lord. That's the best thing you do is get saved,
that's right?
Wow.
Thank you for your teachings. They're really like the little boy who once said the teachings in his church is 30 minutes and it seems like 2 hours, and your teachings are 3 hours and pass like 30 minutes. They are so interesting that I only hear those CDs in my car. That's why I like the long trips to work. God delivers the gas too. And once last month I was on my way to work and it was snowing like crazy. It was just white, white, white. Of course, you're in Norway. You remember the little narrow roads in Norway with the trenches on both sides where I did not want to slip in. I was on the way with my teammate on our way, and we really could not see the road. Then I said to her, now it's enough. I stop at this place and pray, like Thurman on the plane when it was foggy. I said, Father, in the name of Jesus, it is written in Mark 11:23. I quoted it, and I asked that it should stop snowing and the sky is clear, and thank him. Then I drove off, and after a mile, it stopped snowing, and it was clear. I said, praise the Lord. I was also excited that my teammate, who is not a believer, has now seen prayers being answered. Praise
Amen.
The Lord.
Praise
All right, so one more. She says, last year in September and this year in March, I was in Switzerland, and my boss had no substitute for me. I'm a cleaning lady. And I said to her, do not worry. You will have someone, because I prayed and asked the Lord to send someone. And he has sent someone. Both times they had replacements last minute. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Isn't it, again, isn't it wonderful to have a God that answers prayer? Doesn't matter what you need, he's there to answer your prayer if you pray it in faith with thanksgiving.
Okay. This lady is a dialysis nurse. She said, I prayed for a new dialysis patient that was on life support for 2 weeks. Her husband said family is praying and the oldest sister is a pastor. Husband said hospital wants to put a hole in wide throat, which is called a tracheotomy. I told him, no, God will heal her. I explained about sin and sickness and that when she gets a miracle, I will talk more about it with her. I prayed John 20:23, remanded her sins. Mark 16:17-18, laid hands on the sick. Matthew 18:19. Found out it's really Matthew 18:19, but maybe she bound and loosed with it, Matthew 18:18, I guess. I found out the very next day the hospital took out the breathing tube, and by the end of the week she had full kidney function. She never did get any more dialysis from the night that I prayed.
Amen. There's a woman after my own heart right there.
So outside the ICU, she has several. Outside the ICU, a lady looked so upset. I asked if she was okay. She told me her husband was on life support and not doing well. I asked if she wanted me to go pray for him, and she said yes. I prayed the same thing with him as I did the other patient I had for dialysis. I found out that he was extubated the very next day, and the wife told me the hospital wanted to do a tracheotomy on him, but he improved so quickly after I prayed that he never got that done.
Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus.
Okay. She had more praise reports, but those two really touched the patients and the family. I prayed with two other dialysis patients, and their kidney function is normal. That's fabulous. And I prayed with and witnessed to a young man and also gave him some of your CDs, and both he and I are praying God grows back his foot that was amputated due to type 1 diabetes. I did his dialysis a while back, and as I was pushing my machine into his hospital room, he was reading his Bible. I was so happy to see that he wanted a relationship with Jesus. There are so many more patients I pray with and do the sinner's prayer with. I also try and encourage their faith. God always seems to put me right where he needs me. Praise God, and thank you for all your teaching.
Praise the Lord. Wow. Okay.
Okay, this is a really big one. They're from Australia, and these are the ones that we have pictures for. Pictures? Do you know anything about it? Okay. All right. Well, just show the first one. Okay. This is what's wrong. Okay. We'll start with this. Hi, Thurman and Cheryl. My name is Josh, and Isabel is my wife. We live in Little Tasmania, Australia. We live and work on a family farm and have been brought up in a Christian family, and myself, I am one of 11 children. We have been listening to you for about 2 years now, and we've seen so many answered prayers in our family. I had to share this one with you. I have two daughters. Ivory is 2.5 years old, and Lola is 16 months old. When Lola was only a few weeks old, she had this rash that started to appear on her skin. It started on her legs and got worse until it covered her whole body. It was also on her cheeks and face. We never went to the doctors, but was told it was ringworm. Now, she got this. She's only a few weeks old. And we tried every cream out there, to which made it worse. When we were watching your DVDs, we started to work it out. My wife believes it was from her complaining through the whole pregnancy about how, quote, she hated being pregnant and how uncomfortable it was, etc. We have repented of all sin, and we followed the steps, and I prayed for 5 days, thanking the Lord she was healed. I was in the shower that night, and God revealed to me to check Lola's skin. So I rushed out to check it and asked my wife how Lola's rash, and to her response, and looking, it was completely healed.
Wow.
And like new skin. Praise the Lord. It's now been about 6 months, and it's completely normal. I've attached some photos for you to see. Isn't that amazing? Isn't God amazing?
Ladies, let me ask you a question. You noticed how she grumbled and complained carrying the baby.
Right. Yeah.
Does lots of women do that?
I did.
Did God tell you to grumble and complain for carrying the baby he's giving you?
No.
What did he tell you to do?
Praise him.
Thank him. Worship him. And who in the world would ever dream that your child could come down with this disease because of your grumbling and complaining?
Yeah,
just think. God clearly said no grumbling and complaining. Do everything without grumbling and complaining. Is that what he said?
Mm-hmm.
Philippians 2, do all things without grumbling and complaining. So if we had any idea that all this sickness was going to come upon us because of our grumbling and complaining, I got a feeling some of us would stop grumbling and complaining. Don't you agree?
Yes.
If we had any idea that our bad days are going to be caused because of grumbling and complaining, we would quit grumbling and complaining. But you know, when you read over in Philippians 2, where is that?
14.
Philippians 2:14. In fact, I want to put Philippians 2:14 on the board. I want you to look and see what that scripture literally says, Philippians 2:14. Do how many things?
Because they had the pictures up there.
Oh, okay. So the
pictures
were up
there. Do all things without murmuring and disputing.
Yep,
do all things without murmurings and disputing.
Do what now?
Do all.
Do what?
All.
Again, what'd that say?
All.
What do we not understand about that? I mean, if God says do all things without grumbling and complaining, so then what does he expect you to do?
All things.
All things?
All things.
You can grumble and complain a little in there, right?
No, sir. No, sir.
What do you think, sir? You think if he said do all things without grumbling and complaining, he means that?
He means it all the way.
Then why do we grumble and complain so much? We do, though, don't we? I'm speaking for myself now. I don't know about anybody else in here, but I guarantee I grumble too much. You do, you guilty too?
I'm guilty.
Me and you together. Lord, we repent.
Amen.
We're going to quit grumbling and complaining.
Amen.
If God says don't do it, we ain't going to do it no more, right, brother?
Yes.
Wow. It makes all the difference in the world, don't it?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Do
all
without
grumbling and complaining.
Somebody, you know, I've had lots of people say, why do you do it like this? Because if I go over it enough times, you're bound to get it sooner or later. Is that right? Somebody said, boy, I'll never forget that day he got right in my face and said, do all things over and over and over. He said, boy, I ain't going to grumble and complain no more. I'm trying to get through to all of us, including myself, no grumbling and complaining. Because I've done it. Haven't you, Scott?
Yes.
Yeah, I have done it. Okay, honey.
Well, I was going to say the last time I really grumbled and complained a lot, we were out feeding the horses during the winter a few years back. And
now, listen to this. You need to really listen to what she's going to tell you.
I am his best teaching tool. And so we had a rescue horse also. He was 27. He'd been rescued at 24. It was awful what they did to him. And so he was just the best kid horse. And so I had special food I had to feed him because he couldn't keep the weight on him. So I was giving him all kinds of oil and beetroots and you name it. I was giving it to him to make him stay fat. And it was working. But his bucket was half full. Well, we had other horses, and our youngest horse was only 6. And so I get the bucket together. Now, we have on parkas. It's windy. Yes, it's hard to hear. So I give him the big bucket that's halfway full with all this feed, and I tell him to give it to Smokey. And he goes instead and gives it to Spirit, the 6-year-old. And so I have to go back in and make a new bucket. And while I'm in there making the bucket, I said, he is so hard-headed to myself. I don't
you
speak it.
You heard what she said?
I thought it. I didn't even say it. And so I thought it. And because, you know, whatever you say or you think will affect your vocal area.
There's a scripture in the Bible where the lady thought that if she touched Jesus' garment, she'd be healed. And she was.
Yes.
So thinking is powerful, isn't it, huh?
It's very powerful.
Very powerful.
Make you sick as a dog. Anyway, so by the time we fed the other 4 or 5 horses, I think we had 5 then. So because Smokey's gone to heaven. He's buried out there in the field. So anyway, by the time that we finished feeding the horses and before I could get all the way home, I started losing my throat. I started having no voice at all. I could barely sing for church. I spent 5 days having to sleep on 2 pillows with my head propped up because, you know, it caused sinus infection, throat, sore throat, you know, just the whole 9 yards, the coughing, the yakking, only because I thought something, and he couldn't hear what I said. You know, he was just trying to help me.
First Peter is talking about husbands and wives. It says, wives, you know, you have to be anybody. Then it says, if you want to have a good day and see a long life, you must keep your tongue from speaking evil.
But my tongue wasn't speaking. It was my mind.
Same thing.
The battlefield is in the mind.
Yeah, do you have to be very careful what you say or think?
Absolutely.
Yeah, you'd be amazed at the power there is in your thoughts. Just like that scripture we were talking about where the woman, she thought in herself, if I can but touch the hem of his garment, I know I will be healed. And she was. Mm-hmm. You know, she's just a positive. But that's good. It works both ways.
Yes, it does. But that's why
positive,
I like people that have unforgiveness when they think bad thoughts about someone or they talk bad thoughts about someone and then, you know, they get cancer. They get terrible things happen to them because of their thoughts and what they're saying.
Okay.
Anyway, go on and we'll finish this. So you see the daughter. Well, she's not up there anymore. She Lola got healed. There are so many other small healings and answered prayers we've seen. The last few years of our lives have changed dramatically since listening to your ministry. We have learned so much about how to be a radical Christian and walk in divine health and seeing every prayer answered right down to selling our house. I prayed for a quick sale, cash offer, and with a quick settlement, we stood on Matthew 18:19, and to which it all happened, as it sold in a week with a 21-day settlement and a cash offer. Praise the Lord. I have Bible verses on my house walls, the fridge, and my iPhone, which I read daily. I thank you, Pastor Thurman, for your ministry and all that you do and how you give away all your wonderful teachings. One day, myself, Isabel, and the kids would love to come visit America, yourself, and your church. God bless you, Thurman and Cheryl. Love, Josh, Isabel, Ivory, and Lola Street.
Praise the Lord. Wow. Now, where did I learn all these wonderful things?
The Word.
Baron, where did I learn all these wonderful things?
In the Word.
In this old book.
Yes, sir.
Reading this old book. And I've kind of enticed you to study it a little, haven't I? And it's working for you too, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
Wow. Yeah. Baron came up to me the other day and told me, he said, Pastor, you'll never know how much I appreciate what you have taught me from this book. He said, you have changed my life forever.
Amen.
Well, you know, when a young man tells me that, I'm so grateful that I can have that kind of an impact on a young man's life. We got a lot of young men and women out there that need to know these principles, don't we, Gracie? We need these girls and boys. They need to know what the principles of the kingdom are, and they need to know what you can do. Well, now, we're going to talk about another one of these wonderful cases, which is a little radical. Now, for the average person, Acts chapter 3 is where we're going to start. Acts chapter 3, and I want you to realize that it takes a radical Christian to even think like this. I mean, if you go to church all your life and never make this work. I mean, you can go to church all of your life. You can pray all your life and never, ever see what we're going to read happen with these men in Acts chapter 3. So anyway, I want us to turn to Acts chapter 3, verse 1. And Cheryl's going to start there, and she's going to read us a little bit. And we're going to see what a radical Christian is supposed to do. Thank you, Lord.
Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple.
Wow.
Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, ask an alms.
In other words, he's asking them for money. Now just think. Here is a man that's been physically handicapped all of his life. Do you know people like that?
Yeah.
Yes, there are people like that that's handicapped physically all their life, and the answer is in the book. Mm-hmm. And they don't know it's in the book, or they don't believe it's in the book. But if it's in this book, you can take it to the bank. It will work. So let's read on here and see what the next verse says.
And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk."
Now wait a minute. Now this, everybody's got to know this is just a little too radical. Nobody could ever expect to see those kind of things happen today.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you think you could?
Oh, yeah.
Uh-oh, y'all must have been going to a church that's a radical church.
Right.
Oh, you're in one. When I think about the number of testimonies that this young man has told me he has seen since he's learned these principles, it's out of this world.
Yeah.
I mean, the things that Baron has seen God do is out of this world. I mean, he prays for people, and he can't wait till he can find me and tell me about a praise report. And I love those praise reports, don't you, Baron?
Yes, sir.
I love to hear God, about what God's doing, good things, but here's a man that's sitting out there, and I think about Johnny Brumfield. Johnny Brumfield was a man, and we were down in Manny, Louisiana, and they brought him in a wheelchair, and the front was kind of like this church, and they set him down right here in a seat and took him out of the wheelchair and pushed the wheelchair off to the side, and his legs, he had steel braces from his waist all the way down to his ankles. Now he's sitting there with his legs straight out, and I teach about an hour and a half or 2 hours on faith, on these promises of God. In other words, that scripture, John 14:13-14, let's go back to John 14:12-13-14, all three of those verses. And I want Cheryl to read, starting what Jesus said in John 14:12. And then 13 and 14. Okay, honey.
Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also.
Now, wait a minute. Jesus just made an awesome statement. I mean, that takes a radical Christian to even think like that. You got to be radical. There's got to be something wrong with you if you think.
You can do what you
see. I mean... And the reason you can't, Baron, is because there's a little critter.
Oh.
You know who he is, right?
Yes, sir.
Now, you don't think, just because, you don't really think that you can do the thing. Jesus, I mean, just you're an old nobody.
Oh, yeah.
Just a stupid old boy.
Yeah.
You ain't nothing. You can't do that. Boy, he'll call you every name in the book, won't he?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Everything, he'll do everything to try to get you to believe that you can't do nothing. But the Holy Spirit's over here saying, but remember, you're a son of God. You're my child. I said to anybody that believes in me, and you believe in me, Baron.
Yes, sir.
You believe. So if you, to anyone that believes in Jesus,
yeah. Yeah.
He didn't. I mean, Tony, am I kind of staying on track or off track? To anyone. So that includes you, don't it, Tony?
Right.
Wow. That includes you, Scott?
Yes.
You're trying to tell me you're an anyone.
I'm an anyone.
You're an anyone. To anyone that believes in me. And do we believe in Jesus?
Yes,
yes,
sir.
We do.
And what did he say we could do? Read that one more time. What does he say?
Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do,
because
I go unto my Father.
That's even a little radical for me, Baron. I mean, to think that not only can I do... Now, what does he do?
He raises the dead.
He raises the dead, yeah. In other words, Miss Carrie went down to Florida, her and her husband, to visit a relative that was in hospice. And they had been sitting here, they listened to the teaching and all that stuff, and so they know they're children of God. So they thought, we'll go down there and get that woman healed. I mean, it's written in the book, isn't it, Carrie? So Miss Carrie goes down there and goes into that hospice house, and she sees this relative that's in hospice, and she looks awful.
Awful.
Awful. And all of a sudden, your faith is fixing to go out the window because you're going by what you see.
That's right.
And then the wonderful Holy Spirit spoke to you and says, Carrie, remember, Lazarus had been dead 4 days when Jesus raised him up. This woman is still alive. So she's not even dead yet. She's still alive. So she's what he's trying to tell you. This is going to be a piece of cake for you and me. All I need is a woman that believes. And he's a God that believes. And so when you repented for your unbelief, said, Lord, I repent. I believe that girl is healed. What happened to her?
She got out of hospice.
Wow.
About 7 months.
Isn't that something? But what did Jesus say we could do?
Anything.
And he made a bold statement. To anyone. She's the only, just think, what's available if we only know it. And you knew it. And the only woman that ever, only person that ever come out of hospice in Florida in that place was because you and your husband went and prayed for her. Wow, isn't that amazing? You know, doesn't it kind of raise your spirits up to think that there's a promise like this in God's word that says to anyone, anyone? I think he's talking about you and me, Barry.
Yes, sir.
I mean, you can't read that no other way, can you?
No other way.
To anyone that believes in me, not only shall you do what I've been doing, but then this is where the radical part really kicks in, but greater things. Greater. And Jesus raised the dead. I mean, just think. Jesus literally made the universe. Can you imagine one day when after you get home with the Lord, one day you walk up and Jesus is standing there and he says, come on, we're son or daughter, puts his arm around you and say, what do you want? What are we going to do, Lord? He said, well, you know, the cosmos is getting a little crowded. So right off over there in the north, I want you to speak me two more galaxies in existence. And then we'll send some folks out there to inhabit them. Just a couple more, right out there. Go about, make them about 20 million light years away. Of course, we're going to travel at the speed of light. And he says, but just speak me a galaxy into existence. What are you going to do? I'm hoping you're going to be trained well enough by then. You're going to say, okay, God, get out of the way, Lord. Let me, I need some room here. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I command those galaxies to appear in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, it's done. And he says, my son or my daughter, you learned well. Can you imagine him doing that with you, Miss Jackie? After all, if we take this verse literally, he says to anyone that believes in me, and you believe in him, don't you? Not only shall you do what I've been doing, but greater things. Greater things than these that shall you do in my name. So how powerful is his name? That's why I was the boy that had the problem with his digestive system and the hunger pains and all the stuff. When the scripture says, I've been given all power and all authority over the enemy, and he has to be subject to me. When I speak, when I say things, I believe they're going to happen.
Amen.
Don't you?
Yeah.
Because if you don't believe it, guess what's going to happen?
Nothing.
God is a faith God, and without faith, it's impossible to please him. And those that come to him must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You can't be a wimp, can you? God ain't looking for a bunch of wimps. He's looking for a bunch of men and women that want to serve him and do what he says. Wow. Just think. That little girl a while ago, when you looked at her, most people, when they look at a child that's like that child, the one we just showed you the pictures of in Australia, most people look at that and think, oh, my God, how awful. I wish there was something that could help that child. There is. If we only believe, there's nothing impossible with us. So anyway, as we think about Johnny Brumfield now sitting up here on the front row, and I'm in this little church down in Manny, Louisiana with a little group of people about like we have here today, 75 or 100 people total. When we got through teaching, I had made a statement that if you've ever been molested by your father or somebody, an uncle, and any kind of molestation, and you have a gross unforgiveness toward that person if you're a female, you have probably had many surgeries in your life and you didn't even know that you'd opened the door to the demonic world because of your bitterness toward that person. I said, if anybody in here meets that criteria, come down here. And there was Norma Garcia come running from the back right down here, and she says, my daddy was a Baptist deacon, but he abused me sexually all the years of my life until I got to be 15 or 16 years old, and I run away from home because of him. She said, I have hated him all my life. I've hated him, and I've had 13 surgeries in my life. I said, well, forgive him. She said, absolutely, I will. So she forgave her daddy. We broke the spirits, kicked out those spirits, and that woman was instantly healed of lupus right there on the spot. And then what was the other one?
Parkinson.
Yeah, she was healed of Parkinson right there on the spot. Isn't that amazing? Then after we got that done, I looked over here, and here's this man sitting here. I walked around and said, sir, who are you? And he said, I'm Johnny Brumfield. I said, okay. I said, what's wrong with you? He said, well, I see where I've missed it. I've not done what God wants me to do. I've missed it. So he said, I was working out cutting some trees in the forest, and one of them fell the wrong way. That big tree fell across the tractor I was driving and pinned me down and said it took them
an hour and a half
to cut me off from under that tree.
It was like 5 foot.
He said it was that big around, the tree was. So he said they sent a helicopter over there from Shreveport to get me. And they was cut. He said when they finally got me off from under there, he said they flew me to the hospital and said I had all these surgeries. And he said, I have not walked a step in 21 months. And so I'll use Cheryl's knees since he's not there.
Okay.
I knelt down and put my hands on his knees. I said, you know, Jesus said in John 14, 13, 14, we could ask the Father in Jesus' name for anything, and he would do it. Is that what he says, Mike?
That's what he said.
Is that what he says?
That's what he said.
Now, if that's written in God's Word, why don't we believe that? Why do we believe? I mean, did it really literally say that we can do greater things than Jesus did, and anything we ask the Father in Jesus' name, he will do? Does it really literally say that?
Absolutely.
And I said, sir, if you'll believe, do you believe that? Boy, he said, if it's written in that book, he said, I'm a Southern Baptist. He said, if it's written in that book, I believe it. I said, okay, it's written in the book. He said, I believe it. So then I did exactly what the scriptures, what James and John did to that man a while ago when he said, when he looked up and said, give me some money. He said, I don't have any money. I got something better than money. He said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I command you to rise up and walk. I said, do you believe that, sir? He said, I believe it when he said that. I said, stand up and walk. I looked down at him, and he's looking up. I said, sir, I said, get up. And he's trying to say, I can't get up. I said, I reached down, I grabbed his hand like that, and I said, in the name of Jesus, get up. Jerked him plumb out of the pew. And I said, you, that's exactly the way I did it. I said, now then, in the name of Jesus, walk. He started to say, I can't walk. I said, you can walk. Come on. And I said, take a step. I said, come on, take another step. Then he took a third step, and I said, okay, you're on your own. He walked around the podium. Now, this is what you call a radical church. Are we radical here, Baron? This story is a true story in the Bible and that happened in Manny, Louisiana.
Yep.
But Johnny run around this place and then the thing that I don't even remember. After Norma got healed and after Johnny got healed and he's all running, screaming, just like he did it just exactly. That's the first time in all the times I've told it I've ever had somebody to actually do.
Well,
Cheryl did exactly what the scripture says. That's exactly the way it happened and everything. And Johnny got healed that night. And then after he got healed and was running all over the church, some lady brought a man in a wheelchair that was straight laid out. And this one I don't even remember. I don't remember until we were doing the testimonies on film that somebody reminded me about this guy. And I said, I don't remember him. And I do not remember it. But Norma said, what about the guy in the wheelchair? I said, what guy? She said, after you prayed for Johnny, she said, you went running over here, jumped right on this wheelchair that was stretched out, put your hands down on it and screamed just like that, get up and walk in the name of Jesus. And said, that guy jumped out of that wheelchair and run all over that church.
He ran 6 blocks before they could catch him.
Do what, huh?
He ran 6 blocks out the door before they could catch him.
Yeah. Now then, is it nice to be in a radical place? Where Jesus shows up. Now, if Jesus hadn't have been there that night, how much of this would have happened?
None.
We all know who did it. But he used me to do this, and I'm so grateful that I got to see him do that.
Yes.
Aren't you grateful every time a miracle happens and you get to see God do a miracle, Barry?
I'm a walking miracle.
You're a walking miracle. That's it. Oh, yes, of course he is, yeah. In fact, for those of you that don't know, Barron, he's a professional weightlifter. He was picking up, now some of you will say this ain't possible, but he was picking up a little over 700 pounds. Is that right? He was picking it up, and it was so heavy as he picked it up, it broke his leg.
His kneecap.
He broke his kneecap picking up all this weight. And, of course, the doctors told him he'd probably never do anything magnificent again. And he believed and prayed and started standing on God's word. And today he's back up there picking up 700 pounds again, right? Yeah, he's going to nationals. But anyway, what can we do? Here's a man that believed when God says greater things than he said, I've done, shall you do in my name. You believed that, didn't you?
With all my heart.
And with all his heart, and it worked. But Johnny Brumfield, that night, when it come time, in fact, I told these stories that happened in this church so many times and so many places, even on Christian television. And I had people contacted me, especially on GLC out in West Texas. They called me and said, I don't believe this story about this man with a wheelchair. And I just don't believe God does that no more. So I said, okay, God. I said, so what do I do? The Lord spoke to me and told me, says, didn't I give you an airplane, son? I said, yes. He said, well, fly down there and pick up those people, bring them out to GLC, to my TV station, and make a program with them on there. Let them be personal, and you film it and everything. He said, then if they don't believe after that, well, he said, they just lose. That's all. So I went down there. We flew down there. We got these people, and we brought them back, and we made these testimonies over a couple of different trips. And we have DVDs and CDs back there of these testimonies with the live people that happened with and everything with GLC. And every once in a while, Johnny will call me. I get so tickled. He says, Pastor? I said, yes, Johnny. He said, are you telling my story again today? I said, well, I don't know. I said, they're being aired, who knows, on TV and radio at the time, all over the place. I said, why? He said, well, I've gotten a call from New York, got one from Boston or whatever. And they want to know, am I Johnny Brumfield? And I said, yes. I said, did you get prayed for and get a miracle with your knees, your legs? He said, I sure did. He said, are you really sure this happened? He said, yes. And you see the unbelief that's in us? I mean, why? What is so wrong? Is ever scripture we've talked about, is it in the Word?
Absolutely.
Did Jesus himself say to anyone that believes in me, did he say that?
Yes.
Not only can you do what I've been doing, but greater things than these that I've done shall you do in my name. Now, so do you believe you can do those things, Barron?
Amen.
You know you can, don't you?
No doubt.
No doubt. And that's why they work for you.
Amen.
That's why, Barron, he can pray for people in there on the prayer lines during the week. And as he prays for people, he guarantees them. Just like Dave. Dave will pray for people and guarantee them that the Word is going to work.
Amen.
And then that just blows me away, because Dave was the same way. Dave, the young man that done the speaking a while ago at the beginning, when I first, he had that same sickness all over his body too. When I told Dave, I said, Dave, if you'll just do what I tell you from God's word, I guarantee God will heal you. And of course he said, Pastor, you can't guarantee God will do anything. I said, I can. Can God lie?
No.
Did he write this book?
Yes.
So can you depend on this book?
Yes.
If there's anything ever written ever that you can depend on, it's the word of God, right?
Yes.
Wow. Wow. Ain't that something?
Yes.
Okay, read a little further there, huh?
Verily, verily, I say unto you, and whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, if that was the only promise we had, in God's Word, what should we be able to do with that?
Anything.
I mean, but it's not, I love this, one of my special ones, this Scott and his wife. Matthew 18:19. I want you to see these promises. I just want you to see just a few places, but go to Matthew 18:19 and read that. Read that. What does that say, hon?
Again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven.
So what do you do with that? What do you do with a scripture like that? You come to church. People come to church all over the place. I went to the Baptist church here quite a while back one Sunday morning. Since our church is on Sunday afternoon, I wanted to meet somebody, so I knew they went to that church on Sunday. So I went down there on Sunday morning. While I was there, the preacher made a statement about something about somebody being raised from the dead. And that was only a short while after I had raised a man from the dead. And whenever he said, but I guess nobody has seen anybody raised from the dead lately, have they? And I started to jump up and say, I did. But I thought, maybe I better not. So I didn't, because I knew that nobody in there would have believed it. But you know, in fact, the man I raised from the dead, he didn't believe it himself. And that guy worked for me for 25 years. He's a friend, a long friend. And in fact, about 12 or 1 o'clock in the morning, my phone rang, and it was his son-in-law, and he said, Thurman, we have lost Bo. He's had a massive heart attack, and he's dead. I said, well, let's pray. He said, Thurman, I haven't had a heartbeat or a pulse in a half hour. He's dead. It's too late to pray. Is it ever too late?
No.
Yeah, Lazarus had 4 days, right? I mean, this guy just died a few minutes ago. You know, he's been dead only a half hour. I said, okay, if you won't pray with me, I'll pray. So I'm laying there half asleep in 12 or 1 o'clock in the morning. I said, you spirit of death, I rebuke you, and I command you to come out of this man. And spirit of life, I command the spirit of life back in him in Jesus' name.
Amen.
And the son-in-law screamed out, my God, I got a pulse. He's breathing. I said, well, praise God, what are you going to do with him? He said, well, I'm going to take him to Irving to the hospital. So I said, it'll take me a while to get there, but I'll be there. So I get up and get dressed and get in my pickup and drive down to Irving, and it's about 5 o'clock in the morning when I get there, 4 or 5. Ain't nobody nowhere. So I walk up, and as I walk up there, and there comes the doctor. I said, Doc, do you have a Otho Jackson in here? He said, yeah, we're in room 13. I said, how's he doing? He said, well, the guy would have been better off if he'd have stayed dead. I said, what do you mean by that? He said, well, the paramedic said he had no oxygen to the brain for a half hour. So he said he'll be a vegetable. Huh. Mark 16, verse 18. I want you to see what the Word of God says. Mark 16:18. Read that, honey, Mark 16:18.
They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover.
Now, wait a minute. I don't see anything very difficult about laying hands on the sick.
No.
And maybe they'll recover?
No.
No, shall.
Shall recover.
Lay hands on you, and you're going to recover. Gee, that was really difficult, wasn't it? No, it wasn't. So I said, Doc, you see those hands? And he said, well, yes. I said, Jesus said, I can lay those hands on the sick and they'll recover.
Yeah.
You know what he thought about me, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
He needs to be next door.
Yeah.
You will find out if you walk here very long, Barrett. You'll experience, you know what I mean, right? Yeah, they will say, that idiot, look, did you just see what that idiot just did? He said he could put his hands on the sick and they'd get well. You got to be, this guy's nuts. He's crazy.
Take him to tail speak.
These are Christians. What is wrong with us? I mean, so anyway, I go down to room 13. Open the door, look in there, and there the man lies. He's asleep. I thought, well, okay, it's 4 o'clock, 4:30, 5 o'clock, whatever. So, and he's laying there sound asleep. So I just walked over to his bed, stood right beside the bed, reached down, put both hands on him, and I said, be healed in Jesus' name, according to Mark 16:18. Thank you, Lord. Turned and walked off, went to work. That afternoon, they called me and said he's recovering and is ready to go home from the hospital. And a few days later, he was fully released from the hospital, and he worked for me for another 5 years before he finally retired. And he's still alive and well today. Just like Miss Carrie. Miss Carrie is raising the dead. Any difficult, anything? Is that tough for Jesus? It's only tough for you and me, isn't it? We have to remember who we are.
Amen.
We have to remember, you're a daughter of the King, I'm a son of the King. We're his children, right?
Amen.
And if he told us to lay hands on the sick and they'll get well, I was just telling Tony out there a while ago, I said, you know, I can remember when I was a kid back at home, almost not very many of the farmers around prayed over their crops. Almost nobody does. But Tony was talking about praying over the Mary's garden. I said, you know, there's a guy right over there at the field house where my son has a fitness center. He had a house, used to have a house behind there till he tore it down. But I went over there one day and this boy that lived there, he was fussing because he couldn't make his garden grow. He was watering it. He was digging around everything, but it would not grow. I walked up there and I said, what are you doing? He said, I've spent all this money on this garden and I can't get nothing to grow. I said, well, you're a Christian, right? He said, oh, yeah, yeah, I'm a Christian. I said, well, have you prayed over it? He looked at me and said, prayed over your garden? I mean, what did Jesus say pray over?
All.
If Jesus said pray over all things, does that include a garden?
Yes.
So I said, let me pray over your garden. So I walked up there and I started laying hands on them little bitty shoots coming out of the ground. Started saying, Father, in the name of Jesus, I command these things to grow. I command him to have a great crop here in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for his great crop. I got up and said, okay, guaranteed it'll grow now. Do you have to believe?
Yes. Yeah.
2 weeks later, I went back over there 2 weeks later and I walked up and he said, Thurman, come look at my garden. I went up there, he had plants this tall. They were 2 and 3 feet tall. But that's no problem for God, right? Well, if Jesus says pray over everything, speak the name of Jesus over everything. Speak the name of Jesus over everything. Now, let's go just a little bit further here on this scripture. Let's go just a little next verse down. No, not that one. Go back out of where we were. Yeah, go back to the book of Acts. Yeah.
Acts 3.
Yeah, we've already seen where we can take up serpents and we drink any deadly thing, it won't hurt us. We shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Is that what it said? You need to start practicing laying hands on people. In fact, I was
Acts
listening
3.
To a man the other day that said he learned this principle from God's Word. And he saw, and it was so simple, he thought, you know, I'm going to pray for everybody I come in contact with. And said his wife and daughter finally got to where they would not go to the grocery store with him because he laid hands on everybody that they went by. That look.
Todd White said that.
Who did?
Todd White.
Todd White did that? He said he laid hands on people for about 200 people before he ever saw one get healed. At least 200. And then one got healed. And then slowly but surely it started working. Well, I have no idea how many I've laid hands over and prayed over, but thousands. Did I ever pray over anybody that didn't get healed? Yes. Absolutely, lots of times. But when I learned that you can remit people's sin, I really started seeing a lot of people get healed I couldn't get healed. Didn't you see that too, Baron? As soon as you learn, let's remit your sin. Remit sin. Cancel the curse. Command the spiritual curse to leave. Break that power of those things and then pray. And you can see God do just about anything. You can see him do anything. Nothing is hard. Okay, let's go. Let's read a little further here.
And he took him up by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength.
You see that he reached down and picked up this man. That's why whenever I spoke to Johnny Brumfield that time, that was sitting here on the front row, when I commanded him to get up and walk, he knew he couldn't walk, so he wasn't even going to try. I mean, this guy here, he was the same way, right? This guy wasn't going to, he wasn't nothing going to happen. So that, I just thought, well, I'm going to have to give him a little help. And so I grabbed him and jerked him up out of there, and I said, in the name of Jesus, get up and walk. And he did. He stood up, and then he couldn't. I had to jerk him three times. I remember specifically. Three times I jerked him, and then he was okay. And then go ahead and read the next verse.
And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God.
I mean, will that bring on some praise?
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. Praise you. Thank you, Jesus. We see you do the... Okay, read it a little further.
And all the people saw him walking and praising God.
And you'd be just like the lady was at when Dave and I was at the airport here a while back, and I had a picture of Jenna. Everybody's seen the pictures of Jenna out there. Little Jenna had gotten healed from a terrible disease like the one you saw here a while ago from Australia. Only hers was, I think it was worse. Jenna's was absolutely worse. But anyway, when we prayed the prayer of faith, we saw her get healed, so I had those pictures. So we're sitting at the airport, and a lady comes and sits down beside me, sits there a few minutes. She says, sir, would you wash my bag for me? I've got a bladder problem, and I need to go to the bathroom. I said, okay, no problem. So anyway, I said, you're not a terrorist, are you? She looked like a normal woman, so she gets up, and she says, no, I'm not a terrorist. I said, okay. So she goes to the bathroom. She comes back, and as she sits down in her chair beside me, I said, ma'am, are you a Christian? Well, yes, I'm a Christian. I said, do you go to church? She said, well, some. I said, well, if you're a Christian, have you ever prayed over your bladder problem? And guess what her answer was?
No.
No, never prayed over. I said, well, don't you think if you're a Christian, Jesus told you to pray over everything and he will answer your prayer? She said, have you ever seen God answer a prayer?
Oh,
boy. You got all afternoon? So I said, yes, ma'am, I've seen God answer lots of prayers. And she said, like what? I said, well, let me show you a picture. I reached in my pocket and pulled out this little picture of Jenna. And I handed it to the lady, and she looked at Jenna with all her sores all over. She says, that poor child. Who beat that child? I said, the mother's sin beat that child. The mother's sin, and that's what caused this. She said, I don't believe that. I said, well, that's okay. That's what happened. And I said, but you know, after we got the mother to repent and I prayed the prayer of faith, I said, then this is what the little girl looked like. And I handed her the picture and she looked at that picture of her healed. And she turned and looked at me and she said, that's Photoshop.
Oh, no.
That's not real. Nobody could do something like that. But when Cheryl and I was on an airplane going to Norway, there was a little stewardess, little short girl, beautiful little lady. Good stewardess. I asked her if she's a Christian. She said, oh, yeah, I know Jesus. I said, well, have you ever seen him do an answer, a prayer, or see a miracle? Oh, yes. I said, oh, then let me tell you about Jenna. So I showed her Jenna, and same result, reaction. What is wrong with that child? I said, the mother's sin caused this. And I said, after we repented and got the sin taken care of, and we prayed, I said, then this is what the little girl looked like. And I handed her the picture of Jenna after she was healed. That little girl just smiled ear to ear, and she said, now that's my Jesus. See, now, boy, you can tell, can't you? She knows Jesus. She knows the real Jesus. The real one, not the one that don't do anything. Anyway, let's go read one or two more verses here, and then we're going to quit. Read on there, huh?
And they knew that it was he which set for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power, our holiness, we had made this man to walk?
Read on.
The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go.
Next verse.
But ye denied the Holy One and the just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you.
Next verse.
And killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses.
Praise the Lord. Next verse.
And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all.
Okay, because of the faith in Jesus, we should all be seeing some kind of a healing or miracle. You should be able to pray for people and see your prayers answered. If you will start practicing remitting your sin, getting rid of your sin, getting in the Word of God, reading the Word of God on a day-by-day basis, and believe the promises that it says, you will be able to do these same things. By faith in the name of Jesus, you will be able to see and do these great and wonderful things. And if you want to see God do something, you got to pray. If you don't pray, what are you going to see him do if you don't ask?
Nothing.
He ain't going to do nothing until you ask. I mean, just think about that little woman that was in the Baptist church that time, come in, had that little necklace on her neck. And right here, she had a little black mole hanging here on the side of her chest. And I saw her finger in that thing that bothered her. I said, does that thing bother you? She said, yes, it really bothered me when I wear this necklace. I said, I love this necklace, but I can't wear it very often because it creates such a problem. I said, well, why don't you just ask God to take the mole off? She said, are you serious? Well, I mean, Gracie, what did he say I could ask for?
Anything.
So do you think that would include a mole?
Absolutely.
I mean, so anyway, I told her, I said, well, let me pray. And I put my finger on the thing there and rubbed it a little bit. And I said, now command that mole to die. Command that mole to pass from your body and go away. Never come back in Jesus' name. I said, thank you, Lord, it's done. I said, okay, ma'am, guarantee it'll go away. She said, you're going to guarantee it? I said, yes, ma'am. God said, I got to pray, believe it. How much unbelief can I have?
None.
Zero. Surely he wouldn't be that mean to me, would he? He is, isn't he? He's a faith God, isn't he, Baron? And he don't put up with nothing outside of faith, does he? A couple Sundays later, she was in there, walked in with that necklace on, says, Pastor, actually, I was just a deacon, Sunday school teacher. She said, look, I looked and it was gone. But what did he say? I mean, after all, are we any different than these people? Were they saying, boy, they marveled. Look at this man that couldn't walk. He's walking. Wow, look at this. They marveled. What are you marveling about? Only Jesus showed up. I mean, you'll get to where you'll never get to where you're not some excited, but it's not quite like it was when you saw your first miracle. The first time, when you see your first miracle, this is what you're going to do unless you're really trained well. when you get your answer, the first thing you're going to say is, I can't believe it. You know what the deal is, don't you, Mary? How do we know all these things?
Quickly repent.
We repent. Yeah, when you see that and you're first, you get to see God take off your first wart or mold or whatever to answer your first prayer. I mean, like the lady had the knot in her breast, and I told her what to do, and she did. And she come back the next Sunday, no, she had a long face. I said, what's wrong? She said, it's terrible. I said, well, did you do what I told you to do? Yes. I said, did the knot go in your breast? Yes. I said, well, then why are you got a long face? Why aren't you jumping up and down? She said, because when I saw it, she said, Pastor, I've never seen these kind of things. I've never prayed and seen an answer to my prayer. But when I asked the Lord to take that off and said, I had my hand on it and said, it disappeared instantly. And she said, I said, that's it. I don't believe this. Wow. I don't believe this. Wow. I don't. But she said, when I said it three times, it came back. I said, well, God gave you three chances to pray in faith, believing with no doubt in your heart, and you lost it. So I said, did you repent? She said, I have repented all week long. I said, okay, now, I want you to do it again. I said, now, it may not happen instantly this time. He may test you. But I said, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. So two Sundays later, the next Sunday she was there, and I said, is it gone? She said, only in the spirit. It's really the knot's still there, but it's gone because the Bible says so.
Yes.
Okay. Well, the next Sunday she comes, she's dancing around. She said, it's gone.
And,
it's,
yeah.
And she said, and I didn't say anything about I can't believe it this time. Just think, are we dealing with promises that God give us?
Yes.
Is everything we've talked about today in the Bible?
Yes.
And did Jesus himself say we could do these things?
Yes.
And many of you have seen him do them.
Yes.
Over and over and over. Wow. Wow. Okay. Praise the Lord. So faith in the name of Jesus, what can we do in the name of Jesus?
Yes.
Is there anything difficult or hard at all?
No.
Not for Jesus. All we got to do is speak it and he does it. Father, I thank you and praise you for these promises which you put in your word. You are such a mighty, awesome God. And you answer our prayers over and over and over. You answer our prayers. And you do great and wonderful things for us. Now continue to increase our faith, our knowledge, our wisdom. Continue to do miracles and healings and signs and wonders. As we pray and speak your word, just do great and mighty things. And may everything we do glorify the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the Son of the living God. And thank you, Lord, for helping us to remember we are children of the Most High and nothing is difficult for you when we speak in faith. In Jesus' name, amen.